Good afternoon, everyone. Nice of you to come. It's been beautiful weather. Everything's great. Hope it is with you. Health is good. Things are looking up all around, I think. So it's the Sabbath and everything is wonderful. Well, we often read in the writings of Paul about different parts of the body, don't we? References to how all parts or components are necessary for proper functioning of our personal bodies, our personal lives, as well as the church, the body of Christ. The Gospels have many allusions or references to this kind of a comparison as well. And a case in point, won't turn there to this, but in John 17:11, part of it, it says, Jesus speaking says, "The Holy Father, keep your own name through those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." It's obvious that our personal body parts act as a unit, as a single entity, and in unison and in direction based on whatever our functions are that are needed and what our brain tells it to do. We act as one. Walking, running, talking, eating, sleeping, all those things which all of us obviously know and do every day. And that's true of the church as well. It acts as one. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, and we'll get into that a little bit. But overall, in the long run, I think that is true. We're totally familiar with that, I believe, when we start to think about it. It's also very clear that we're instructed that the entire body of the church, referred to as the body of Christ, is to act the same analogous manner to that of our body, carrying out the functions that are, and responsibilities that we have. In Colossians 1:24, it says, "For his body's sake, which is the church." And so there's a very clear definition of what the body of Jesus Christ is. Well, generally, most of these various body part allusions are short. We read a little bit of a glimpse, a sentence or two, and then it moves on. They're great comparisons, and understanding it really is very important, I think, for our spiritual development. These references are largely to a major component of our body as the way it's put in the Bible, like the eye, the ear, the foot, whatever. And as good as these are to our understanding, and as valid as they are, I think they're only a small part of the information we have available to us in this modern day, because I think that can benefit us in a more in-depth study in understanding the body as well as the church itself, and can be further guidance to our individual function. So today I want to describe much more detailed information about one aspect of our human bodies and to make the comparison and connection with our function in the body of Christ. Now there's good reference, clear reference to this concept in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. I should have been turning there. And it's very familiar, I think, to all of us. 1 Corinthians, 12, verse 14 through 17. And we read here, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were in the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" And so on. It goes on describing more functional aspects of how our physical body works. And then I think we make a comparison with the church and how it functions. Let's go on down to verse 26. And it's here it reads, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So I think that's a perfectly clear explanation and understanding of how our functions in our physical existence match up and compare with the church. We're certainly not off just doing our own thing. We're connected in one way or another. We're not independent of all the other parts. So there are many aspects of the human body that are known in our modern world, and I think much more detail than the apostles had available to them when they made these comparisons and wrote these scriptures. And I think it's actually even more instructive, in a sense. And we'll take a study and look at the details a little bit. I recently read an interesting book called The Hidden Face of God. It was published in 2001, so it's pretty up-to-date. It was written by Gerald Schroederer. He's an MIT-trained scientist in both physics and biology. And it has wonderful information in it, detailed technical information, but correlated with spiritual matters. And also, I recently finished reading two other books by Dr. Paul Brand. And his were from the late 80s, so they're a little bit more out of date, but that's still relatively current. Dr. Brand had a variety of training early in his life, and then he became a missionary surgeon. He spent the majority of his career in treating lepers in India. Now, I'm sure we've all heard of and read about the leper situations that have occurred over the centuries. And then he later did a similar thing, ran a leper colony in Louisiana. I didn't know we had one until I read it in that book. But as he performed his life's work, there were many, many lessons that he learned about the how the body works. And due to his religious knowledge and understanding, why he was able to correlate that, relate the technical medical details to things that apply to spiritual matters, I think in a much more in-depth way than perhaps we read about in the scriptures directly. And I think that's a very interesting take on it. It actually extends, I believe, those analogies. It doesn't do away with them. It doesn't try to put them down whatsoever. It just extends them to a little more level of in technical detail than what we otherwise would have. And in the books, he covers cells, bone, skin, motion, balance, many other topics like that that have to do with our body that we can readily relate to. For example, think about the skin. Won't spend much time on this, but our skin is what people see when they look at us, obviously. It's been characterized as something that keeps the inside in and the outside out. And, you know, literally it's true, but it's certainly more complex than that. That's very simplistic. The skin weighs only 9 pounds, but it flexes and folds around all of our joints and our facial crags and creases and our gnarly toes and our lumps and bumps of all sorts. And it just kind of smooths everything out. And that's what people see. You can choose any section of the skin, scalp or lips or eyelids or heels or elbows or fingertips, and they're all different, different structures, different cells, different texture, different feel. And yet they all serve whatever their function is to make this entity, the body, work the way it is. And it certainly is a nice thing to have, you know, this crazy patchwork of these different cells that kind of form a complete sheet around us and say, this is me. That's what we see. But, you know, for all that, when you think about the church, it applies to the analogies you could draw from it. Seeing the outside doesn't tell you what's on the inside, does it? Isn't that much like the church? People read things on our booklets. They see things on the television. They hear things. They write, hear blogs, read some of the nasty blogs. And that's the outside. That's not really inside. And so I think there's a real interesting analogy that way if we could pursue it further. Our bodies are comprised of some 75 trillion cells. They're quite similar in size and nominal abilities, but different functions. And they're not autonomous. They have to work together. Our cells are essentially a community, if we can look at it that way. So what's it have to do with the church anyway? I'm just going to cover a few more details of cells and then hopefully draw some analogies from it, conclusions from it. White blood cells and red blood cells. Our blood vessels and capillaries carry everything that our cells need, nutrients, oxygen, wastes, to and from the totality of all the cells in our body. If you've seen in a microscope, there's an abundance of red cells, huge number, smooth, shiny disc with dented centers. This is how they look and describe often. They essentially do the heavy lifting of carrying all these materials back and forth. Also seen are white blood cells. They're the armed forces of our body against invaders. And they float along in the bloodstream, looking sluggish, looking ineffective, like who needs one of those? That is until there's an attack or danger. And then they're like a dog that just scented a rabbit. Just head right for it, the invader site, and directly through the other tissue that's around, and they attack the invader. They essentially can spread out like a sheet, envelop the invader, and kill it, probably dying themselves in this. And certainly the death of one white cell doesn't mean anything. There are 50 billion active ones moving around within our blood system and our bodies. And there's another backup force of twice that in our bone marrow. They're often specialized, though, through cellular memory, if we can call it that, to attack and destroy specific invaders, repeat invaders, like you would have with a flu virus. Well, anyway, those are pretty complicated entities unto themselves, tiny, tiny, tiny. And a cell might be not the whole size of a period at the end of a sentence when you're reading the Bible. Very small. Can hardly see them if you had a microscope. But they're actually stuffed together tighter than the circuits on a microchip, to put it in a modern context, with everything inside in motion. You know, if you looked at a textbook, you would see a simplistic diagram of a membrane for a cell and then half a dozen components called out. But they're far more complicated than that. On average, every cell is forming 2,000 proteins every second in every cell continuously. It's a hard thing to grasp how much action is going on within us. Now, a protein is a string of several hundred amino acids, which are molecules of 20 or so atoms. So you figure out how many atoms there are in each cell, and it's astonishing. Every second, each cell is selecting about 500,000 amino acids of 10 million atoms, organizing them into pre-selected strings, and shipping them off to another cell that has a need for that. Now, how do they know what's needed? And how does the other one know it needs it? We don't know those kind of answers, but they've determined that's actually what's occurring. And each cell controls what is admitted or expelled through its membrane. There's a coding system where this membrane will open up a door, the needed component will enter, and the door closes. Just astonishing what's been determined. Now, see how much different, how much finer level of detail that is than what the apostles were able to talk about in our body components? It really is mind-boggling. So, in comparison with the church, we can see that individual cells are the basic unit of organization, the body, just as we are individual components of the body. We each have something we can do, bring to the party, and something we need. A cell could live by itself if it had available all the basic services. We can, too, out there in the world, if we want to look at it that way. But if, when called on, a cell in the body can help form or sustain or protect or add to the larger organisms, it's pretty much in line with Paul's explanation in 1 Corinthians 12 about comparing the church and the human body. We've read a part of that, of course, before. It's a pretty comprehensive description of the body, really, of a person and of the church. But it's written from the viewpoint of those larger components. Now, Dr. Brand used the more detailed cell structure terminology to paraphrase that whole section in 1 Corinthians 12, and I think he had an incisive view of it to describe it in a much finer level of detail because of the modern-day technology that we have available. So that was kind of an interesting thing to read. But he also comments that this conveys a more precise meaning because while a hand or a foot or an ear can't have a separate life from the body, a cell can, if it had those ingredients provided to it. It can be a loyal part of the body, or it can cling to its own life. A cell can. A cell can live in the body, share the benefits within, the nutrients and the protection, as perhaps a cancer cell would do. But unconstrained, it'll do its own thing. It can fight as an opposite or an alternate and more preferable and more predominant. It can fight any of the intrusion of foreign invaders, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. Now, I think this kind of information can really correlate with being members of God's church. As members, we can just float along in the blood system, just like those white cells or blood cells, and do nothing. We can even leave. We can go do our own thing. We can go out there somewhere. We can be a part of another element of the body, which is fine, or thing that's not really part of God's church. And or, as the alternate, and the preferred once again, we can help bring nourishment to the body. We can help the body where it has needs. We can give our life to the church as a body. And we see that happening. We see that people coming together when there are threats against the body. Think of the dedication. Now, going back hundreds of years, the dedication of church members in the early years had, in the hundreds on through perhaps the Middle Ages, or the Dark Ages, where many died on the stake rather than giving in to Satan's demands and threats. So they gave their very life, just like a cell would, a white blood cell. It's going to give its life for the benefit of the total organization, an organism. Today there are thousands of members, as well as pastors and elders and deacons and serving people throughout the membership, who readily put their life into the church for the benefit of the church, in helping and serving and encouraging it, brethren, caring for the church. So all of these are very much like the white cells performing their function, bringing nourishment, taking away problems. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 1, just one verse here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, that scripture certainly came to mind in thinking about the comparison, the analogy between cells and body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's exactly what these comparisons we've been talking about are. To present our bodies a living sacrifice to the benefit of the total organism. And why would we do that? Well, because that's what the church needs, and that's what God wants of us. To give ourselves to Him for the benefit of the totality. Let's go over also to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And back in verse 15 of that same chapter, in the first part of 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So, again, these two are brought out just because they show we literally are members and part and parcel of the body of Christ. And I think that those are great understandings about our sense of being, our sense of responsibility, in fact, our sense of destiny when we think about that. Well, cells also have specialties. Everyone is not the same whatsoever. One element of the body, the eye, has many subcomponents itself. Of course, Paul referred to the eye, but look at the things that make up the eye. There's the lens, the cornea, the iris, etc. And in the back of the eye is a whole coating that's the retina. A fabulous set of receptor cells. Rods and cones, as they're referred to. There are 7 million different types of cells, 7 million cone cells, and 100 million rod cells. They're sensitive to different light levels and different wavelengths, which give color to our senses. And when one is triggered, it sends a message to the brain. Now look at how many million there are. Each one can be triggered and send a message to the brain. And the brain is able to interpret shapes and colors by sorting and organizing these signals. And it allows for the overall component to serve the total body in a very useful way, to have that interpretation. Is that the way for each of us as a member of the church of the body of Christ to function? Well, I kind of think so. It's the way this congregation is. When someone has a need, somebody steps in and helps fill that need. When there's some information that the home office or the head of the church, Jesus Christ, needs to know, he gets the message. However we react, whatever our response is, that we're triggered from some situation. And I think that's a beneficial thing, and it shows that all these things can fit together. Now, we don't, as individual cells, see the need of the total body. Now, we might have opinions. Most often, they're not complete. Probably not right a very large proportion of the time because we don't have this sensory input that would give us that total knowledge. But the thing is, from our vantage point, we might not understand it, but the head does. The head of the body, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 3. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which the church is his body, as we've covered in several scriptures. He's the one in charge. Now visualize how great gobs are of our 75 trillion cells, individual cells work together. In a simple thing like stretching out your arm and pointing, there's thousands, millions of cells in that muscular structure and tendons and bones that have to work in right amount, in concert, to make that motion come about. Or if I, you know, scratch here because there's an itch, well, there's 450 cells per inch that sending messages about that itch and whether it's been satisfied or not back to the brain. Each cell does what it's designed to do. My brain gets the message. It says that action I wanted to take has been accomplished. When I eat, my body calls into action my sense of taste, the stomach function, spleen, liver, pancreas, kidneys, etc. All these things work together, called on just at the right time to function properly. Each one is packed with millions of loyal cells ready to do their individual job. I don't even perceive their existence or their function. When they all work well, I'm hardly conscious of it. When one doesn't work right, it hurts in some way. I get that message in the brain and start to figure out how to do something about it. So I'm really happy when they work well. But what I feel overall is not the individual thing, it's the composite of it. Me, I feel good when things are working right. My body is one. And again, that's the root analogy of the body that we're talking about. And we as members of the church have certain abilities. We each have need that those abilities are used. We can fulfill the overall needs of the whole body when we can provide our input and when we can receive the things we need. And we each do that. And when we do, the church overall feels good, does what it's supposed to do. And we don't always see the big picture, and we don't have the sensory input to know that the total composite of the church is doing or where it's going. Only Jesus Christ does that. But he needs to be able to count on each one of us as a member of the body to do our function. Now, my body employs a whole lot of different types of cells. Yours does too, of course. They all work together. And I think these cells teach us a lot about how the church function should be working together. They teach us a lot about that. Our body, our families, our groups, our companies, even our nations is the composite of what all those individual cells are seeing, feeling, and doing. And of course, the most important is the body of Christ. The network of people scattered all around the planet who have little in common other than membership in the body of Christ. We wouldn't know each other as we do now without being brought together in this body. My body cells don't individually remember or resemble me, and yours don't resemble you. The church is a composite of this odd, unusual composite of human beings that are called together. We're each unlike the one who we are named for and follow. No one looks like Jesus Christ. We're almost comical as human components of the body, if you can think about it a bit. Different forms, different character, different ideas, different ideals. And yet taken collectively, we do reflect and constitute the body of Christ as the scripture tells us. So while we can sit here and think, well, so-and-so ought to do this or that, or maybe I could have some contribution one way or another that I haven't been doing, It all doesn't mean a thing. It's what the brain telling us as individual cells we ought to do. There's certain things, perceptions I've gotten in thinking about this and in thinking about Ephesians 1, which we read earlier, that observation alone or an analogy of our simple individual body parts can't reveal the awesome nature of the church. Observation can't do that. From the outside, the church may appear to be a human instrumentation of some sort, something that's an organization, entity that society recognizes that serves a religious purpose. But when you look at the cellular level, it tells a little different story. First, the church is a congregation of all called out, baptized members from all places, and I'd say, too, from all times, from the time that we read about the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. Those are the people that God placed in his church and have constituted the body since the beginning of that function. I want to turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 19 and 20. Therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's one observation, thinking about this cellular level of analogies. A second is that the church has been given the mission of, dare I say it, evangelism. In Matthew 28, and we're so familiar with this, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So there's a function, a mission. You can't determine that from looking at the outside of any one church, but it's a spiritual responsibility and calling. Third, the church exists in local congregations which regularly gather together and worship him. Now I want to go to Acts chapter 2 and a couple of things here. In verse 42, we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then the latter portion of 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the body is constituted by a spiritual entity calling us all together for the purposes that we've been talking about here. It's not something that we find a direct comparison with in the world. We're a spiritual organism. And then fourth, the Holy Spirit's given to the church and its leadership to bring the entire membership to maturity spiritually. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, I wanted to read here also, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And then skip to 11, and it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we're all called together from all these different parts of the world. We wouldn't have known each other otherwise, but we're all part and parcel of this entity, this analogy with the human body, the body of Christ. And then another scripture is in Ephesians 4, in verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, that's not speaking Southern. That's collective. And then in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together is by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So it shows the whole body is put together properly for the very purpose that God has called us to make us part of his body and eventually give us eternal life. And so all these different functions, like all the individual different types of cells in our body, are to function together. And no one of us can see the big picture. Even if we're sitting in the highest position with any one of the churches or the splinter churches as they exist today, can see the picture that God has planned, that Jesus Christ is head of and working out and bringing together. We just don't have that vantage point. But we still need to be counted on to do what we do. Be love. Live by the commandments. Do the things that God leads us to do and gives us opportunity to do. So I think the analogy of the cells of our body portrays a whole many aspects of the body of Christ, the church. We've seen that each cell has a different ability, different composition, different function. None of them, that is, none of us, can see the entirety of the body of Christ. Yet when we each do our respective personal, individual function, when we're called on, we can give movement, we can give visibility, we can give strength and accomplishment to the work of the body and what it's supposed to do in this day and age. So today there are, again, controversies for the work. It's been that way since the church was formed in Acts 2 and verse 38 and so forth. It's the work and how it's to be done and who's in charge that's in question. Well, it's all foolishness when considered from a godly perspective. I mean, we get excited and uptight and antagonistic and depressed and all the human emotions about what we perceive as being right and wrong and how the organism is functioning. But there's no one human being that's able to see how all these bits and pieces come together. If we would each see ourselves as just one cell doing our one function dependably, God can take care of what we're supposed to be doing and where we're headed and what we're going to accomplish. So if we consider ourselves just one cell in the greater body of Christ, I think it helps put things into a proper perspective. As a little aside, for instance, again, in closing, there's a guy over in Africa or in Peru or in Scotland, and I don't know why he's a part of the body, why he's one cell in the body. I don't know what his capabilities are or what he's doing. Same thing. He doesn't have a clue why I've been put in the body and what my functions are. We just don't know. We don't have that perspective. But Jesus Christ does. You see, the same is true for each one of us. Not one of us looks like Jesus Christ. Yet the composite of all of us cells is Jesus Christ. It's told us. We're his body in this day and age. And there's a great comfort, I think, in that realization. We just need to keep doing what we do, what our capabilities are, and living in accordance with the rules and the living conditions that we have within our church, and leave the guidance and the direction and the accomplishment of the work to the church of God, Jesus Christ. I mean, to the head of the body. And sometimes we think we can do it. We can criticize. We can do something better. We can make suggestions. We can make demands. We can write things and by that in some way accomplish something. But we can't. We just need to work together like, who was that guy that got busted? Rodney King. Why can't we just get along? That's what he said. But it's the kind of same kind of thing, I think. And I think looking at the cellular level as an analogy for what the work is, and what we're expected to do by our head, our leader, Jesus Christ, is something we ought to take more seriously and just live our life in accord with what we know the scriptures are telling us to do and how to live.